There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Another couple hours of live local talk. I'm glad you're here. Lots to do on today's show. And like a theme developed. I didn't mean for this to develop, but we have this standing date. Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran and I for the second Tuesday of the month. And we're going to talk about that, the years we've been doing this, and what we're going to do going forward. But also then that was already booked. And then I got a call about a speaker coming to town. We'll find out more about author Raphael Mengual, the book Criminal Injustice, The Push for Decarceration and De-Policing, What It Gets Wrong and Who It Hurts the Most, joins us in hour number two. But leadoff batter, Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran joining us now for your chance to ask the sheriff. Good to see you.
Glad to be here. Sounds like an interesting second hour, too.
Yeah, it's you know, this question about you look around the country, de-policing,
yeah,
right? And what happened at large around the country and the number of those places that went back to policing, mm-hmm, that said, wait a second, we don't police, and then crime comes up.
That's exactly right. And unfortunately, it affects the communities that need policing the most,
right,
are the ones that pay the biggest price.
And so when you pull the police out there, that, you know, some places it took them a month, some places it took them more than that to them go. That, you know, you saw these city councils like in Minneapolis and elsewhere go,
yeah,
you know what we said before, we're going to walk that back.
Walk it back, and now they're paying the price, having to pay overtime to neighboring cities' officers to come help them police their own city because they run so many of their own officers off.
I mean, as you look at the jobs of government, and I think government gets into maybe more jobs than I'd like them to, but mm-hmm, at the basic core of it, public safety is there. You can't, I mean, I guess rich people can, but the rest of us can't outsource and privatize our security, our safety.
That's exactly right. And so, you know, the general public needs policing, and, you know, average Joe needs policing.
But it's changed, right? I mean, the technology and the use of different techniques and all these things that have changed in law enforcement, but still that need, whether it was 1950 or 2022, is still there. It's interesting.
It is. And, of course, we're seeing changes of how people maintain their security, and there's just an evolution going on. You know, you see these films on TV where people are just invading these stores and ripping them off,
yeah,
and robbing them, and it's going to force more and more stores to quit putting stuff on the shelves, and it's going to be all under lock and key, or the only way you get your goods are delivered to your house via Amazon or something like that, because the mercantiles can't put it in the shelves anymore because the thieves steal it and the progressive prosecutors don't want to prosecute.
Yeah, I mean, you look at that. I think it was the CEO or the CFO of Walmart was out, I think, last week, and he was on CNBC and said something to the effect of, you know what, we're going to raise prices, number one, because of the theft. Number two, we may be shutting down some stores because of the theft. I guessed at that point, because he didn't say it, that's in those places where you have those prosecutors who aren't prosecuting. Or mm-hmm, we've heard stories, different cities, and maybe San Francisco is one of them, where if the shoplifting is below a certain threshold, they don't do anything.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's some of the progressive prosecutions. And you know, it adds up into hundreds of millions of dollars. I think the CEO or somebody from Target just this past week put out some statistics where they lost several hundred million through shoplifting in the last year or so, and that it's really beginning to hit their bottom line.
I mean, the number one reason somebody shouldn't take from somebody else is you're not supposed to steal, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
But beyond that, it's the fact that they could get busted. But if you take that away,
yeah, there's,
then somebody's just people just
no
gonna walk
risk
out
anymore
with stuff
if you take the incentive of punishment away, and the rest of us are paying for the pilferage.
So, yeah, we are. I mean, just like, you know, we pay for other people's mistakes through insurance. In this case, we're paying for people's theft.
Yeah.
So around here, that attitude is a little different, I'd say, than those cities out on the West Coast or elsewhere, right?
Well, we don't tolerate here, thank goodness, so far. But you know, you mentioned insurance, and of course, I will give a shout-out to the I guess our legislature 15, 20 years ago finally bit the bullet and started enforcing automobile insurance. For so many years, when I was a young patrolman, you'd work a wreck and this person wouldn't have insurance, and there was no ramification.
Right.
And finally they passed it to where and the officer couldn't write him a ticket for no insurance. And but finally they corrected that, and now, you know, insurance is online, so the officer can see if you have insurance or not and can write a ticket to you if you don't have insurance. And so probably that has helped. I've never seen the statistics on how much it's helped, but it probably helped, you know, shoulder the blame on the bad people drive or bad drivers. But so it's probably helped us in that respect.
I do wonder, maybe if people in the insurance business, did that bring down our rates? I mean, you know,
I would think it had to, because it got a lot of uninsured motorists off the road.
Right.
And so many of the uninsured motorists were the bad drivers. Some of the reason they weren't insured was no insurance would insure them.
Right.
Because they had such a bad driving history. So it helped us. I mean, you know, and you've heard me say this before, frequently we can beat up on government, and there's lots of things to beat up on government. But government gets certain things right, and that's one of the things I believe that they did get right.
Yeah, and let's look at that, how that's applied, though. You've got that applied. You said it finally came to Alabama.
Yeah, it took years and years.
What other changes, you know, that you look around the landscape, and maybe we're doing something right, but they're drifting away in other places? You said the shoplifting thing. What, I mean, do you see national trends? You watch this.
Yeah. Well, you know, and this is a heated topic on your show all the time about the gun laws.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think we've gone in the wrong direction by doing away with background checks on carrying guns concealed and stuff like that. I think we went the wrong way.
Tell folks, I mean, you've talked about it before, but somebody hadn't heard. You believe the ramifications of that are what?
Well, there's going to be more guns out there, more guns stolen. The proliferation of guns and vehicles will be everywhere, and people will be quick-tempered and pull the trigger. And it's going to put more dangers to law enforcement. Law enforcement will be restricted on what they can do to people that are carrying guns and not check those guns and do checks on the guns, see if they've been used in a crime. But,
right, and tell folks about that, too, that this is a way that you get to a vehicle, there's nobody has a concealed carry permit, there are handguns in the vehicle.
They have a legal right to have it. You know, unless you know that this person is a convicted felon, you know, they have every legal right to have that gun.
But the past, when they had to have a concealed carry, then how did y'all use that?
You say, hey, I see you've got a gun here, do you have a concealed carry permit? And if they say no, you would arrest them, you seize a gun, you put the gun through a firearms test, do ballistics on it, find out if he's using the crime. Now you won't be able to do that kind of stuff. And, you know, say one person in the car is not a convicted felon and two or three others are, and the non-convicted felon says, hey, that's my gun. And, you know, we don't trace guns, or we don't make you register your firearms, which is a good thing. But because your guns are not registered, and I don't know why, but some people still think this day and time you're supposed to register your guns, and guns haven't been registered in 50 years.
Right.
And
yeah, concealed carry permit is for you, not for the firearm.
Right. You can have 10 different pistols that with a concealed carry permit that it would cover. You know, but many people still this day believe that you have to register that gun, but you don't. I mean, we have good. Those laws are good, you know. I mean, the right Second Amendment, those guns are rules and laws are good. But I think we've just gone too far in that realm. And we see in these states that have relaxed the gun permit laws, you see assaults by firearms are way up in all of these states. And
okay, because that's
we predicted that and said it. But
because people on the other side of this, when we were in this debate, you know, back when this was the bill was in session, had people come on and tell me that in fact there were no changes in those states where they went to constitutional carry or did away with concealed carry.
They said that, and they were not wrong when they said that. And the stats are there. You can pull the stats; they're publicized. And gun crimes have gone up in states where they relaxed the gun permitting. But you know, pendulum swings one way, and I think it'll be a number of years. But I think. When this country's had a belly full of violent crimes, they'll start saying, hey, we need to restrict
that. But they're going to turn around and say, listen, the people that are going to be out there committing crimes are bad guys anyways. They don't care about concealed carry permits. They're going to just do what they're going to do.
Well, again, people say that, and you're saying it, but that's just not the case. There are a lot of bad guys who will not carry a gun except under certain conditions because they don't want to run the risk of being caught and being arrested for it. But
you've talked about that in the past those bad guys would get the gun to go do something mm-hmm. with the gun and then take it back and stash it somewhere.
That's right, exactly.
Versus your fear was, when we talked about it before, is those people now will carry that gun sure. in the vehicle.
See, many times police will stop a car load of thugs, maybe search the car, no guns. 3 or 4 hours later, that same car load of thugs is involved in a big shootout. Mm-hmm. So what transpired? They went back, got their guns, but they were just on a surveillance thing to begin with, maybe, or something. But
okay.
But you know, I mean, it once again, it's a small sector of thugs that are doing most of the crime, most of the shootings, and but there'll be more of them will be availed to have guns in their possession.
You're saying there'll be more hours of the day where there will be a gun in the mm-hmm. possession of the person that wants to do bad with it. So
that's correct.
Okay, so it's just like a numbers game. Bad guys out there, maybe he has limited time that he has the gun on him mm-hmm. beforehand, but now he'll have more time with the gun on him, and that's your fear for...
That's okay. Exactly right.
By the way, too, we'll get back for the break here. Sure. Got questions coming in for the sheriff. 343-0106 for the phone or the text line, 251-343-0106. Your chance to ask the sheriff. Got some questions about concealed carry, also magnetometers and all that stuff coming your way next, right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, reminder as well, another shot at tickets to The Temptations and The Four Tops. They're going to be next month at the Mobile Civic Center Theater, 7 o'clock, January 19th. Tickets are on sale now. Mobile Civic Center Ticket Office, also the Sanger Ticket Office, and through Ticketmaster. But you got a chance to win them coming up this, between now and 2. How about that? We'll do between now and 2. Big stretch there, but your chance to win. All right, continue our conversation with Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran. And we've got questions for the sheriff, and it's your chance to ask the sheriff. You've got this month, and then the sheriff's going to come back and see me in January.
January.
Yeah, before you step down.
That'll be my last show in office.
I'll wait for the what you going to do next question that you always get there. But first, let's go to but you know what? I want to ask this one before we go forward. Mm-hmm. And y'all hold on. Come to the phones. But when we went to the break, I want to talk about school security because somebody asked this question about magnetometer. Here's the question. Let me move around here. Dale says, question for the sheriff. Why would Pritchard Police be handling security, including metal detectors, at Williamson High School gym one evening last week for the JV varsity game between Williamson and Baldwin County High School? I must add, neither officer cared about the searches / metal detector results after the game started. Isn't that the thing that was the problem with the shooting at Ladd? That somebody...
Yeah, they had metal detectors, and then they abandoned them, and the bad guys were inside. Saw they abandoned it, went back out to the car, got a gun, and came back in and shot their opponents, or shot who they shot. But I think the question also asked maybe why Williamson had Pritchard police officers there, and it wasn't a Pritchard school, was it?
Right.
I think it was.
It says Williamson, it was at Williamson High School.
And who were they playing?
Baldwin County High School.
So,
Baldwin County High School, doesn't he?
So I guess they hired off-duty officers, and in this particular night, they must have hired off-duty Pritchard officers rather than, because that seems a little odd that it was not a Pritchard school playing there.
Uh-huh.
So there's a lot of extra jobs that go on nowadays in Mobile County because of all the security needs, and so you got police officers working all over the county. And, of course, a police officer that's certified has arrest rights, can arrest somebody outside of their city jurisdiction.
Okay.
You know, they do have the arrest
powers.
So they
don't have to, okay, there you go, that answers
it. They're state certified and they can arrest somebody outside. Now, they have to go to that city jurisdiction or to the county jail, depending on which type of arrest they make.
And then we'll go to the phone. Supermom asking here, she said, how long can you be in the, I love this, how long can you be in the left lane before it equates to a ticket? What's the rule of thumb? I'm asking for me.
Now, that law that was passed a couple of years ago is only valid on interstates, not not other highways.
Not highway,
I think
not
it's
state.
Like a mile. You can't travel more than a mile and a half in the left lane unless you're passing vehicles when you're traveling in that left lane. If not, you're eligible for a ticket. It's either a mile and a half. I can't remember.
I'll tell you right now, I could give out a ticket book full of tickets on I-65. Folks do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean,
I've seen them myself.
And you well, I mean, I'd like to wait back there long enough to see if they're going to notice, you know, because then you're like, come on,
yeah.
come on.
Don't you, when you go to the right, don't you want to just slam right in front of them when you do that? But you
I
have that urge, but you can't do
I'm
that.
I'm not going to say that in front of the sheriff.
I've had the urge, but I don't do it. But I tell you, I've had the urge, I mean, so I know if I've had it, you've had it.
Maybe once or twice. Robert is in Sims. You're on with Sheriff Cochran.
Hey, Sheriff.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate you letting us ask you questions every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question. This is more your opinion about the recent ruling by a federal court judge that they denied Hossmack. That's the Baldwin County Sheriff. I believe I got his name right.
That's right.
And his deputy that were involved in that 2017 shooting of an unarmed man. And one thing that came out in this law, they're in the lawsuit stage.
Mm-hmm.
I don't guess there was any criminal finding in that, but they did the body cam video came out of that.
Right.
And you know, my understanding is the DA in Baldwin County they dismissed the lawsuit and then they took it to federal court under different grounds or whatever terms the lawyers use. And the judge saw the body cam footage. And I'm not going to put words in the federal judge's mouth, but according to Lanyap, he declined to uphold the qualified immunity for the sheriff and the deputy.
Right.
And he was very critical, if I'm remembering the article, and I think I am right.
I think you are.
He was critical of the shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Did you read any of that? I guess you know more about it than
I've read it. I've followed that case, and I've actually viewed the video, and I was astonished with the findings that the magistrate judge ruled against Baldwin County because I saw the video, and this guy's walking with his hand pointed out, and he's got something covering his hand, and there's no way to tell if he doesn't have a pistol in his hand. And I think the judge said, why didn't the officer use a taser? And he was standing behind a fire truck or something, but the guy was like 10 feet away. I mean, he warned him, and then eventually he shot the guy, and the guy was, prior to that, was exhibiting all kinds of crazy behavior. And I, you know, until I saw the video, I was saying, well, you know, maybe so. But when I saw him covered, I thought that was strange. And so you're right. It was strange to me that qualified immunity wasn't granted. And I know they argued that case before the federal appeals court, I think, in Atlanta last week. And I'm anxiously awaiting the outcome. But for people that don't know, qualified immunity is when a police officer is doing their job and doing it what seems to be reasonable at the time, that he can't be sued for doing his job reasonably. And that's just like, I use qualified immunity oftentimes in my job where, let's say somebody in the jail, a guard that works for me, and I've got rules that they're not supposed to beat the hell out of an inmate, but they do it anyhow, and I may fire the guard or suspend him, and then they sue me because that guard did that. Well, that's not right that I've done nothing to cause that guard to beat the devil out of somebody. But so if I could get sued under all those circumstances, then who would ever hold office? And that's what qualified immunity really is all about.
Okay. Robert, appreciate the call. So one of the keys, though, is you've seen that video.
Yes.
And that's, you know, people talk to me a lot about that. I'm like, I have not seen the video.
Mm-hmm.
There, you know, there's this push and folks in media to be able to have these videos out
right
to where everybody can see them.
Mm-hmm. And that's a kind of a misnomer or a sham that was – let me say this, that the video camera companies and certain elected officials said, we're going to have transparency, we're going to make everybody wear these body cams, and then we're going to be able to see what actually happened, when in fact the law does not make the video camera footage automatically public record. But the public was led to believe that it would be.
Well,
and
but
so,
people would turn around, Sheriff, and say, then, but I'll tell you what, we'll go to the break here. I'll ask you, you know, the why not?
Yeah, sure. That'll
be the question.
Exactly.
Here. All right, coming right back, more of your chance to ask the Sheriff, Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran, our guest.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1235, FM Talk 1065, Midday Mobile. Chance to ask the sheriff, Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran, our guest. From the text line, Maximus says, yes, Robert, the jailhouse lawyer. But this is a thing that you said, number one, perception of body cam, what would be, people thought the law meant it would be out there all the time. But then I have this question to ask, you know, when it's not released, why?
There are numerous reasons, but some of it is just not public record. And in Alabama, the law is not clear on what is public record for video cams. And, of course, there was a court ruling here in Mobile that ruled it was not public record. And so, we don't use body cams in the county, but
the city
is not required to release the body cams, and they have a policy on which circumstances they do use it. I think the public was sort of sold a bill of goods nationwide on body cams.
Right.
At the end of the day, it plays a role in some cases, but very few cases would the evidence still not support and reach a reasonable conclusion as to what happened. And so, again, I'm opposed to them at this point in time. And, of course, some of the reason I'm opposed is that I think it hurts law enforcement. Say, for instance, you have this shooting, and we've had a number of them in the city. There was one time there was a case on Pleasant Valley Road or something where somebody shot somebody. There's a whole group of citizens out there, and nobody would say nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you walk up, knock on the door, and say, Mr. Sullivan, we had a shooting next door. Did you see what happened? And he looks on your shirt and sees a camera there. He's going to say, I ain't seen nothing, they don't want to be recorded with what they know would later be released. Whereas in the old days, you say, Miss Sullivan, you see something, and they kind of look to the side and say, that man in the red shirt, that's your boy, that's who done it,
right.
And the same thing, let's say.
So it has a chilling effect, you said, on.
Yeah, and so if it's public, it's public. If it's not, it's not. You and I can't choose what's public record or not. So if the police are called to your house and I'm your next door neighbor and I don't like you and I see the police come over there, I'm going to say, I demand a public record. I demand a copy of that video. And let's say, the police saying, what are y'all fighting about? And he says, well, she's been fooling around on me, you know.
Right.
And, man, if you hated your neighbor, what juicy information would you like to have, something like that? And then you start playing it. Or you get a copy of it, and 10 years later you play it.
Uh-huh.
You just and then what gets me is gruesome stuff. Let me tell you, it's not pleasant to see somebody shot in front of yourself. I mean, blood and guts, flesh and blood and sometimes eyeballs hanging out and stuff like that. Well, some people want to see all that. Well, I just don't think that we should let people benefit off showing blood and guts of something really happening. It's unfortunate that some of those cases will show up in a court in front of a jury, and that's their duty.
But the jury is
way through it, you know. But everybody else doesn't have to see that. And so I just, there's numerous reasons why I don't agree with it. And maybe one day I will when all it gets sorted out. Okay, like under what circumstances?
Right.
Some of the circumstances. Okay, if it involves you yourself and you're in the video and I'm in the video, then me or you can have copies of it.
Yeah.
But then, okay, what can we do with those copies? There still should be some restrictions on it. If I've got a video and something like that, I believe in public records being public records, but you and I shouldn't be able to choose what's public and what's not. So it's either all public or not public.
Gotcha. That's probably one of the best explanations of why there's opposition to that I've ever heard. And we're coming to the phones in just a second. For the text line, Drewski asked, to the sheriff, is there no way to run a background check on someone on the spot to find out if they can legally own a gun or not? If no, why not? And how do we change that?
Well, when you say on the spot, when you go into a police building, you can run a check on the spot. But as far as out in the field, you can. It's called a criminal history check or a NICS check. And there are certain restrictions placed on us, law enforcement, by the federal government on who can run that check, and then they have to keep a ledger or a log on who ran the check, who'd you run it on, and who'd you run it for. So we can call our headquarters and ask the lady or the person to say, hey, I run a criminal history check, and she's going to record me, Sam Cochran, on this such and date ran a criminal history check on Sean Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I leak that out to somebody, they're going to go back and say, I know who run that check.
On this date.
This date, time. And you can get charged for a felony if you run a criminal history check on somebody.
It's probably a good thing because that keeps people from
it keeps
abusing power.
That's right. And, let me just say this. In the old days, you drive down the road and run a check on an automobile, run a tag registration, and you know, supposed to be in the line of duty, but you know, maybe it's a blonde haired, blue eyed girl driving that car, and he's like, I want to see who she is.
Right.
Well, that's against the law to do that. You know, you've got to have a legitimate reason, and police officers have been suspended, and some have actually been charged criminally for running checks on people illegally when it's not in the course of the law.
Yeah, and citizens can't. I mean, we can't.
You can't call down.
I can't call
and
get whose license plate.
Got a record, and you know, sometimes I feel like it's over restrictive. Just for instance, you say, Mr. Cochran, I've got this gun. This neighbor wants to sell it to me, and I just want to make sure it's not stolen.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm actually prohibited from doing that for you, and I like the fact that you want to make sure that you're not buying a stolen gun,
right?
But the laws restrict us from being able to do that. Now, does that make sense? No, not in my opinion.
Let's go to the phones at 343-0106, and Freddie is in Mobile. You're on with Sheriff Cochran.
Oh, Sheriff Cochran, I just want to say thank you for your service in the city and in the county all these years, and really appreciate your efforts on behalf of the people out there that are law-abiding, and I just want to say thank you.
Well, thank you very much, and I'll say it's been an honor to serve all those years, and I tell people I've seen a lot of awful things, but what really makes me satisfied in this job is tens of thousands of people I've been able to help where they call you in a frantic and they've got a problem, and I say, whoa, we can settle this. We can get to the bottom of it. And they're just overwhelmed sometimes by the system, but because I work in the system, I understand it, you know, I can help them through it. And all of a sudden,
navigate for us.
Exactly. And a lot of times it's a simple solution that nobody knew.
So Terry says the Baldwin County shooting was an, quote, awful but lawful, end quote, incident.
Now, I use that term a lot, lawful but awful. But, you know, from what I saw on it, and I've looked at it pretty closely, and I just think that, you know, it was a lawful, and I don't know that it was an awful shooting. But I've seen a lot of lawful and awful shootings.
Tony saying it's, in my opinion, constitutional carry is a huge mistake. Dirt Digger said, I'm glad the law passed, talking about for constitutional carry,
right.
But I still pay for a permit as a second form of ID, and when I travel out of state, plus use it to help when purchasing a firearm, but someone messed that up. So first thing, I guess, and we've talked about it before, but, you know, there's always new people. If even coming up in January, even if you're not going to have a concealed carry permit for carrying in Alabama,
You'll still need one to cross the state lines if you have a gun in your car. You'll need
even Mississippi, even Florida.
Carry. Yeah, yeah.
That's
right. And you know, I think y'all may have spoke earlier this week about the prohibited persons thing, and I said from the get-go that was a sham, and I still say that. It's the state of Alabama is going to have, and it's not working yet, but if you're a convicted felon and we run a check on you, it'll say, hey, this guy's prohibited having a gun. But it's only in Alabama, and it's only – the people in Alabama where they've been arrested, court system sent it up there, but it won't have the other 49 states. So if you're along Wilma Chunchula or something like that, a lot of people cross the lines, Mississippi.
Right.
So we won't know if a guy from Mississippi is a prohibited felon. And you know, that's the bad part of the law. It's the way it was really good. I mean, I wish if they were going to do away with, you know, gun permits, they should have still required permits and just waived the fee completely or something, you know, but we'd at least...
Because you'd said that on here. We asked that during that debate. I asked you specifically.
You did.
And several times. I said, if you could choose to keep the structure of the concealed carry permit, but get no revenue, which, by the way, you point out many times, you didn't decide on the amount and revenue. It's something that goes up through Montgomery. It's not your decision. Even though it's county by county, the decision's made out of Montgomery, like so many of our antiquated systems here in Alabama. But you didn't decide on the amount. But I asked you, I said, if you could still do the process of doing those checks and issuing concealed carry, but you made no money, or you could have money, but no checks, you said you'd take the checks.
I'd take the checks because I think the safety of the officers and safety of citizens is foremost. And you know, it was a government issue. And, I mean, government is there to protect people, and it should continue to protect people. But we'll live with it. It's more dangerous for all of us, but we adhere to the law. That's what we do.
All right. This is a follow-up here from Supermom, who had asked about the how long you could be in the left lane. And you answered it, and she said, I'm so mad then. I was in the left lane on the causeway from the on-ramp of the Bayway to Ralph and Kaku's. I got in the left lane because the officer was on the shoulder. Bet I won't try to be considerate like that again. So maybe they got a ticket. Maybe she got a ticket.
Well, she was on the on-ramp onto the I-10. That's an interstate.
No, it said, I got into the left. Okay, I think that's the location. They were on the car. She was on the. I was in the left lane on the causeway from the on-ramp of the Bayway. I guess that's kind of location to Ralph and Kaku's. Mm-hmm. So that might be a mile, or I don't know what the length of that is. I got in the left lane because the officer was on the shoulder, but I won't try to be considerate like that again. I wonder if she got a ticket for that because she was trying to get over. Maybe give us some more information.
I don't know, but there is another law now that if a law enforcement officer has a car pulled over on the right side of the road, you're supposed to move into the left lane, not stay in the right lane past them.
Shouldn't there actually be an ordinance for that? Didn't we all learn that when we're? I see that all the time. It makes me crazy. Why
you should move over by law? Yes. You're required. But now, if there's traffic in the left lane, then obviously you can't move over, but you're supposed to slow down and be cautious. But you,
I didn't even know this was a law. I just thought it was common sense. I didn't know.
No, that law was passed just a couple of years ago. Those are two separate laws, but both of them were passed in the last few years.
All right, let's go to Randy in Mobile. You're on with Sheriff Cochran.
Yes, Sheriff. I got a question. My son-in-law and was at his apartment, had it properly parked his car, and it was registered. When he got up in the morning, his car was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out his tag had expired by about 10 days. The apartment company had a towing company in and tow any car that either wasn't parked properly or had expired tags, and it's a $250 fee to get him back. I was just wondering if that's a legal thing for an apartment complex to have a car towed. If you're registered and with the apartment, it just didn't seem right to me.
Yeah, there's some pretty strict regulations enforced on some of these rental agreements that seem to be patently unfair. But if it's in the rental agreement or something like that, and it's an expired tag, then it may be that they could legally tow it. Now, that seems pushing pretty hard if he was already had a sticker on his car saying he's registered to park in the complex for the complex to have it towed. But what you do is you get some real aggressive tow drivers that they're going to make money, and so anything they can find that's a violation of the rental agreement, they're going to do it. However, I did just recently, I can't call all the facts, where I saw some company was recently sued and they had to make a big settlement in some type of class action lawsuit involving something similar to that. So if I was the apartment complex, I'd be a little concerned if I was the apartment complex manager corporation of being too aggressive on stuff like that, that they get hit with a lawsuit and may fork out a bunch of money.
There you go, Randy. Right. Appreciate
you. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, when you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Fred says, so I recently discovered that speed bumps in the county are illegal and are controlled by the Mobile County Road and Bridge.
Speed bumps in the county? I don't know that they're illegal. They're just not legal, and the county doesn't build them, and so it's in their restrictions. They don't put speed bumps into the in the county, and that was the city passed ordinances to do it, but the county's always had a stance they don't do road speed bumps in the county.
Remember, we were all retrained in the city. It went from saying speed bump. They said they're speed tables. I said they still.
Well, they start off as speed bumps, then they made them tables, and then they pulled a bunch of them up.
Speed couch.
Still a few, and of course they can catch you off. I've hit one or two by mistake, and they'll get your attention.
Coming right back, more with Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran. This is Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:52 FM Talk 106.5, and your chance to ask the sheriff. I got a lot of texts to get you here in the last few minutes of this hour. Nick says, out of curiosity, Sheriff, are the officers that are out during road construction on the job or hired as side jobs? Happy holidays and enjoy your retirement.
They're on side jobs.
Okay. Tim says, ask the sheriff, after the first of the year, it's legal to open carry, so when you have your weapon on your side and you get in your car, is that a concealed weapon? Yeah, but it doesn't matter anymore.
No, see, open carry is already legal and has always
been legal. But not inside your vehicle.
But not in a vehicle. Even though it was in plain sight, the law required to have a concealed carry. But now you will not require a concealed carry permit to carry a gun into your vehicle. So you can have it on your side, open carry, get in your car, and you still don't need a permit.
Yeah, that's why I came up with my invention, which was a magnetized you know, a holster that you put the gun on the outside of the vehicle.
Yeah.
Down the road. So there's people are asking more questions about. So it does not change open carry. I mean, that's
no already, open carry. It's just open carry. Been the law.
Let's see. Don says to tell you, Sheriff, thank you for all these years of service for me and you. Can you ask? Okay, by having a concealed permit, if we get pulled over, wouldn't that make it easier for the officer versus having to wait to find out if that person being pulled over can legally possess that firearm? But y'all can't. You can't run that now at all. So.
Yeah, if we pull you over, we have a right to maybe run a check on you. And I think that proposed prohibited persons, when we run a check, will come back and say this guy is not wanted, but be mindful that he is a prohibited person from carrying a firearm. That's their intent. And nothing wrong with that per se, but it's only going to tell you if he's prohibited just in the state of Alabama. He's not going to say if he's a, you know.
From somewhere else.
From somewhere else.
Don says, I'm hoping all this takes the opposite turn and inspires more people to get their concealed weapon permits, if nothing less than to show respect to our law enforcement. So,
well, it hasn't took that turn. We're down about several thousand dollars already.
Yeah.
And, of course,
dollars
the state
are
has agreed to.
I mean, yeah, the state's supposed to. There's this fund they're going to make up the money.
It's $5 million, and it's up for 3 years, whichever runs out first.
Okay.
And from what I understand, there's agencies all across the state have put in for a lot of it, and it's going to go like lightning. But I think I heard on the news the other day that maybe some of the legislators are reconsidering to add more monies to that to make the sheriffs whole. I mean, it don't get me wrong, it impacts our budget. I mean, we use that money for a lot of good things, but as I've said, you know, it was an important thing, so they may make us whole, and that'd be good, but going forward, we're still not going to be as safe as we were before.
Okay, the numbers, because you often had talked about the number of concealed carry permits issued in Mobile County. It was significant.
Yeah, I think it was something like 60-something thousand permits were issued, and we brought in, of course, $1.2 million a year or something like
right.
that, and we use that for all kinds of training expenses and equipment and things like that, but we're down 40%. And
okay, that was so you're down
40% now.
Out of that 60,000.
Yeah, so, but the main reason we're down 40%, is not 40% fewer permits, but a lot of people would come in and buy a five-year permit, so they pay $100. Now they come in and buy a one-year permit, so that's why it's impacted us really harsher, because of the multi-year permits people are no longer buying.
Yeah, Brandon said here, it's crazy if you're a legal gun owner and you can't spend $50 for the five-year carry permit.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
He knows the value of these guns, the price of guns. My goodness.
Yeah, unnamed texture here just made me laugh. I didn't know this. In Austria, speed bumps are called sleeping police.
Huh.
Our man C.B. Carl said in Magnolia Springs are called speed humps. So,
uh-huh. Yeah.
And speed humps. I just remember in Mobile, I just remember the change. And I was saying speed bump, and I had somebody call me. I might not even have been on this station. I might have been in my rock and roll past life. And somebody said, there's speed tables, Sean. I'm like, okay, yeah. Whatever. They bump, they table, whatever it is. Let's see if I get a chance here. Okay. maybe this one to end on here. Bill says, could you ask Sheriff Cochran if the leash law applies to cats? I've been told by my neighbor my cat cannot run the neighborhood off a leash. Thanks, and happy retirement to the sheriff.
I don't think the leash law applies to cats, but there is an ordinance about letting cats run at large.
Yeah, they just don't listen.
Yeah.
The people or the cats, they just don't listen.
You may have mice in your yard or something. They might check your mice.
This one here, maybe this is a future show or not, but John said, hey, I just joined the show, and I guess I've talked about this a few times this week. What does Sheriff Cochran think about dispensaries, the medical marijuana dispensary? Do you have an opinion on that?
Well, you know, it was argued in the legislature for 2 or 3 years, and then it was passed. And so the dispensaries, now, if you read the law, they're very, very restrictive. You've got to have a guard at the door. No, it's got to be a standalone. I mean, it's not a pharmacy or nothing.
Right.
It's only there to dispense medical marijuana. Got to be a guard, and you can't go in there unless you have a medical
patient card to
allow you in there. So, I don't think, and there's only 37 for the entire state, so I don't see it as being a major problem at all.
You know, the discussion that came from about a week and a half ago, City Councilman Scott Jones came on to talk about why he was a no. I had Jennifer Boozer came on, and she had talked about why she was a yes in it. But I did, you know, the councilman said he quoted some, you know, I didn't look at the documents, but he was quoting places. He said there was an uptick in crime. If you had medical marijuana, then there was all an increase in, like, recreational marijuana. I don't know. You go get out on traffic here in airport. It doesn't seem to be slowing anybody down even before the medical marijuana is here.
I've not seen any reliable statistics that indicate crime has gone up based on medical marijuana. Now, I know homelessness and other things in Colorado increased after they made recreational marijuana
legal.
But that's two entirely different things, and Alabama's probably got the most strictest laws there are concerning this.
All right.
Now, if they loosen them up over the years, maybe something would change.
That's
right
the
now.
Future, yeah. We'll see where that goes. I'll see you next month.
Yes, sir. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait to see you next month. Happy holidays to you. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year's.
To you and all your listeners, happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
And be safe. Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran, our guest. Coming right back, hour number two of Midday Mobile.